This is Incomplete Design History, a podcast that explores overlooked and ignored topics in graphic design history. It is our goal to deepen and expand the knowledge, understanding, and interpretation of design history. Because history is messy, it's incomplete. Thank you for joining us today. I'm your host, Mandy Horton. This season of Incomplete Design History will focus on women of graphic design history. Our subject today is Mary Blair, but we can't talk about her without talking about the Walt Disney Company, too. To put it plainly, Mary Blair's vision and approach to her work changed how Disney made movies. But who was Mary Blair? Mary Blair was born Mary Robinson in McAlester, Oklahoma, in 1911. Her family moved around a lot when she was young, from Oklahoma to Texas, and then finally settling in Morgan Hill, California in 1918. Mary had known from a young age that she wanted to pursue art, especially illustration. In high school, she worked with the famous artist David Alfaro Siqueiros on a school mural. She was awarded a full scholarship to the Chouinard Art Institute in Los Angeles, where she was mentored by illustrator Pruitt Carter. While at Chouinard, she became interested in fine art and watercolor painting. She also met Lee Blair at Chouinard, who would become her husband. They graduated in 1933 and were married in 1934. Mary and Lee were both watercolor artists, but after graduation, they struggled to live off their art, due in part to the onset of World War II. So in order to stay afloat, both decided to make careers in commercial art. The UBI Works studio was where Mary and Lee got their start. In 1938, Lee landed a job at Walt Disney Animation Studios. And then in 1940, Mary was hired there as well. She went into the story department and was a sketch artist working on the production of both Dumbo and Fantasia. These projects bored and frustrated her because she didn't get to work on the creative concept side of the animation. Instead, sketching someone else's ideas, which did not appeal to her. So in 1941, soon after she was hired, she actually quit the Disney studios to go back to watercolor painting on her own. But Mary left at a bad time. The animators at Walt Disney Studios went on strike that very same year. What started out as a small group of creators was growing bigger after the success of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Walt Disney purchased and moved his enterprise to a bigger workspace, which meant that the studio had more staff and could work on multiple features at one time. However, Pinocchio, and later that year Fantasia, failed to do well at the box office, at least not as well as Snow White, leaving Walt scrambling for money. The animators had been expecting profits from Snow White. Wages were still generally very low, and the only screen credit at the time was given to Walt Disney. Art Babbitt was Disney's highest paid animator, and he approached Walt. Babbitt and the artists wanted to be recognized by a union to address things like pensions, screen credits, healthcare, and of course, the extreme pay gaps at Disney. At the time, Hollywood was slowly unionizing, and animators expected the same. Walt claimed they were recognized by the Federation of Screen Cartoonists, a union that was made up by Disney's lawyer, except the union was fake and illegal. Art Babbitt quit, and the strike began. Artists filled the front of the new Disney lot with angry picket signs that were colorful and as creative as their films. The strike lasted for 5 weeks, but before the strike was over, Walt was commissioned by the U.S. government to take up the Goodwill Tour of Central and South America, which was when Mary's history picks back up with the Disney Company. Disney's Goodwill Tour was part of the Good Neighbor program that Roosevelt created in 1933. The problem was this. Nazi sympathy was growing in Central and South America. The Good Neighbor program hoped to address that by hiring big Hollywood names to produce films and shorts with Latin American influences. The goal was to encourage camaraderie between the Americas rather than to have them end up on opposite sides of the war. Universal Pictures produced the film Argentine Nights for the program, except the plan backfired when the film caused a riot when it was actually released in Argentina. The movie only used the clothes and music of Argentina, and the people found it offensive. When Universal Pictures failed, the U.S. government turned to Walt Disney, who wasn't originally interested, but eventually warmed to the idea of an all-expenses-paid research trip to Latin America. So Walt got together with his best group of artists. Mary's husband Lee was invited, but Mary, of course, did not. And she was really upset. She wanted the opportunity. So with encouragement from Lee and her parents, she got dressed up and met with Disney in person and convinced him to let her come along. Mary Blair got to go on the Goodwill Tour, a trip that lasted 3 months and made stops all over Central and South America. It's not an overstatement to say that Mary's life changed because of this trip, and so did the future of Disney. Her art style flourished as she picked up the colors, textures, and shapes of South America. Up to this point, her art was nearly identical to that of her husband's, and as a result of the trip, Mary's own style emerged in a big way. Walt noticed the change as well, and Mary soon became one of his favorite artists at the studio. When the group of artists returned from the Goodwill tour, Walt became a huge advocate for Mary. He saw the childlike whimsy in her art and pushed for her work to be used on all his projects. Walt was always ready to see and try something new, and Mary's extremely modern art was exactly that. Disney Studios had been very focused on traditional animation with its illusion of life style, beautifully realistic scenes and characters, and natural colors that matched what people saw in the real world. But Mary brought modern art into the animation studio with her bold color choices and stylized mid-century modern shapes. She incorporated these abstract shapes to create characters in simplified forms and colors to tell stories. Saludos, Amigos, and Three Caballeros were the two films that were created from the research and inspiration from the Goodwill Tour, and Mary Blair was the art director for both of these films. Mary mostly created concept art for films in her years at Disney. She described her job as working with the writers to help create the ideas for the picture graphically, right from the basic beginning. She was now at the beginning of the movie-making process when all of the visual world-building happens. It meant she had a large amount of creative freedom, which was probably the reason she loved it so much. Mary got to be experimental with color and pattern, and her work was the opposite of realistic. It pushed color, form, gravity, and anatomy closer to surrealism. It was a far cry from the usual illusion of life of Disney animation. And even though Walt loved Mary's style, not everyone at the studio did. Mary was frustrated that her work hardly ever made it onto the screen intact. The animators claimed it was because her flat, geometric style was nearly impossible to put on the screen in a three-dimensional way. The animation industry was male-dominated at the time, and many of the men were also jealous of how much creative power a woman had. According to Mary's friend, Hazel George, the male animators thought that she was taking unfair advantage of Walt because she was a woman. But that was the usual attitude toward women artists. Even so, her art changed how Disney made their films because Walt kept pushing for her work in the studio and putting her on films like Cinderella, Peter Pan, and Alice in Wonderland. In 1953, she left Disney officially and began focusing more on freelance commercial art. The unique style that she picked up from her trip to South America was developed in her work on Disney's feature films and then fleshed out and refined in her children's books. Her first children's book illustrations appeared in Baby's House, published in 1950. In 1951, she illustrated I Can Fly, which is often considered to be one of her most iconic books. Even President Kennedy's family adored this title. Jackie Kennedy even took the time to write a personal note telling Mary how much her daughter Caroline loved the book. Both Baby's House and I Can Fly were published by Golden Books, and she went on to illustrate many more titles for the children's book publisher. Her other titles include The Golden Book of Little Verses, The Up-Down Book, and The New Golden Song Book. Yet Disney wasn't very far away even then. She created a few cover images for Disney Golden Books as well. Mary's work with Golden Books showcases her understanding of how children understand their world. Kids are naturally curious, and Mary's illustrations captured that curiosity, showing kids the world as they saw it. In 1963, Disney asked Mary Blair to come back to the studios and help create and art direct a new ride for the 1964 New York World's Fair. The result of this collaboration was It's a Small World and featured children from around the globe singing the catchy song, which was written by Richard and Robert Sherman, in different languages. From concept to completion, It's a Small World took 9 months and is another highlight of Mary Blair's work at Disney. Her stylized characters were fully embraced. Her geometric shapes and her bold color shines through the 15-minute long boat ride. The whole idea was to feel completely immersed in a child's craft project. Animatronic dolls dressed in elaborate cultural costumes by Alice Davis moved and danced around. A large bright purple hippo with long eyelashes slowly blinked its eyes. Animals and people had a simple design with cartoonishly big noses, dot eyes, and line lips. The backgrounds were also made to flatter materials to further enhance the paper and glue project feel. In the rainforest scene, the water is made of semi-translucent streamers. Mary came back now and again to work for Disney up until Walt's death in 1966. For over 30 years, Walt kept pushing to use Mary's ideas and artwork, but after he passed, opportunities for her at Disney dried up. By then, Mary's legacy was already a permanent part of the Disney Animation Studios. We owe a lot to Mary Blair. She's a shining example of creative brilliance. That said, Mary was still human. At a time when meeting up with coworkers meant alcohol, Mary and Lee both struggled with alcoholism. Lee was able to get and stay sober, but Mary was not so lucky. It remained a struggle that she had to deal with while she made her mark at Disney and at Golden Books. The influence of her work at Disney is still palpable. Her fingerprints are all over the extremely stylized and mid-century modern style of the Monsters, Inc. title sequence. She also set the style and standard for Golden Books. In 1991, she was posthumously awarded the Disney Legend Award and officially recognized for her creative contributions to the company. Mary Blair was a prolific designer and artist. The eternal youthfulness of her art is nothing less than breathtaking. It is inspiring. And it's just as relevant and important today as it was the first day she put brush to canvas at the Disney Studios decades ago. This episode was produced with the aid from a grant from the University of Central Oklahoma. Research and writing credits for this episode are from research assistant Kayla Sinclair, with additional research assistance provided by Shane Valencia. Story editing by Spencer Gee. Sound design and engineering by the University of Central Oklahoma's Center for E-Learning and Connected Environments. Music by Christina Giacona and Patrick Conlon of Onyx Lane. If you would like to contact me about this episode or about the podcast, please email me at hello@idh.fm. That is hello@idh.fm. Our website can be found at idh.fm. You can also connect with us on Instagram at Incomplete Design History. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you on the next episode of Incomplete Design History.